Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Bobby Bell, right here on LA Talk Radio.
It is Thursday. This is LA Talk Radio, and you're listening to The Writer's Block. My name is Jim Christine. I'm your host for the show, and tonight we have just come someone real special. I actually handcuffed her to the chair as she was leaving her studio from her show.
Someone help me.
Bobby Jean called in very sick today, and so I snagged Sheena Middle, and she's in here with me tonight for
wonderful
a little
to
while.
Wonderful to be here, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much. And again, you're a lifesaver. You are a lifesaver. I don't even know where we are. The Writer's Block is brought to you by Black Dog Publishing in Simi Valley, by Out West Boutique and Cultural Center in Newhall, and by Target Freight Management in Pittsburgh. And I got to tell you, we mention Target Freight every show, and we do because, of course, they're one of our main sponsors. But they also have a full truckload service that's the very best in the industry. Have we mentioned that TFM Truckload is the finest in the industry and get your freight there every time, on time, at the rate you need for your transportation costs? Call today, 844-653-7789, and tell them you heard it here on The Writer's Block, and they'll have a little something extra for you. And while we're at it, if you're an LTL shipper, which is less than truckload, you are probably looking for the best rates in the industry. Call Target Freight Management. Their customized transportation management system is just a ticket to getting your freight moved your way. Call Target Freight Management today at 888-653-1323 or go to www.targetfmi.com on the web. You won't be unhappy. And I have to tell you that Out West Boutique in their concert series is next week, and they have a very special show. They have Junie Fisher and Joe Harrington, which are both just phenomenal performers, and they were sold out, so they added an extra day.
Beautiful.
So they're going the 25th and 26th. If you want to see if there's any tickets left, their number is 661-347-9700. Again, 661-347-9700. And if you want to call in tonight and talk to our guest, the number here is 818-602-4929. And that, again, is 818-602-4929. Sheena, how you doing?
I'm wonderful.
It's always good to see you. It's so much fun now coming in at 7 and you're in the studio.
We pass in the hallway.
And we pass in the night, and yep. It's usually like, Sheena, get out.
Yeah, you're always hanging in the doorway telling me to leave. Pack up your things and go. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
You're out of here. But it's good to have you. And
great
and
to be
I
here.
Oh man, it was just so great you just bombing in and just taking over, and I just love
we're
that.
We're a family and I'm here to help.
We are. I was going to try to snag Sam, but of course he doesn't have his video show here anymore, so he doesn't come in the evenings anymore. You know, he just Sam is Sam.
He's home reading.
So he says.
He loves to read.
So he says. Either that or he's out on his bike.
Yes.
And I believe that is Mr. Henry Park calling us to tell us about what's going on in the West. So let's see if that would be Henry. Mr. Park, is that you?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello, Jim. How are you doing?
Good, Henry. How are you doing? You're here tonight with Sheena as well. Sheena Metal.
Hi, Henry.
Henry Park.
Hello, Sheena. Nice to meet you electronically.
Nice to meet you too.
So what's happening?
I'm sorry Bobby Jean is not well.
Yeah, she called
in this
afternoon.
You're there to fill in.
My pleasure.
Yeah, there you go.
Great.
Talk to me.
Well, I've got some great stuff for you. Jammed that up. I've got a great event to tell you about on Saturday and Sunday in Hollywood at the Hollywood Museum.
Okay.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
Ah, good. Well, for anyone who doesn't know, it was the headquarters of the old Max Factor Cosmetic Company.
Right.
Who made all the great makeup for Hollywood stars and studios, and they've preserved it beautifully and have some fascinating displays. But this weekend, they're playing host to the Child Stars Then and Now Autograph Show. And over 40 former child stars will be attending. This is a benefit for a minor consideration, the charity started by Paul Peterson, Jeff, of the Donna Reed Show.
Mm-hmm.
And they look out for kids' actors' rights and interests. And of particular interest to Western fans are Darby Hinton from Daniel Boone,
sure.
And you can read my interview with him in the current roundup, Johnny Crawford from The Rifleman, John Provost from Lassie, Tammy Locke from the Monroes, nasty little Allison Angram from Little House on the Prairie,
right.
Margaret O'Brien from virtually everything, plus Mouseketeers, Kids from the Waltons, My Three Sons, and tons more. It's just $10 to get in, and different prices if you want to have your picture taken with someone or have them sign something that you brought or buy their pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And just found out about a interesting movie that's not going into production yet, but looks like it's going to happen. Do you remember last year the Weather Channel had a very good miniseries based on the Donner Party tragedy with Darby Hinton again as George Donner?
Oh, I do. I do recall that. I didn't see it, but yeah, I
didn't
remember
either,
that.
But I'd love to.
It's great stuff. Anyway, 20th Century Fox and director Ridley Scott's company, Scott Free, have just announced that they're doing a Donner Party movie based on a not-yet-published, not-yet-written novel that's already been optioned called The Hunger, and it's going to be sort of a Donner Party meets The Walking Dead kind of thing.
Oh, good Lord.
I hope it's not in bad taste.
Oh, gee, you think?
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself. No. And there's a nice surprise from AMC for all us Hell on Wheels fans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, love it.
I was so sorry to see it go, but if you missed any of the last season, I know my DVR somehow erased the second-to-last episode before I could see it, or if you just want to binge-watch them all over again, AMC is making them all available online for free for about a month.
Oh, wow.
And they're doing the same thing with the American West documentary series.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Well, now, coming up Labor Day weekend, the 52nd annual CineCon Festival will be held at the spectacular Grauman's Egyptian Theater on Hollywood Boulevard.
Uh-huh.
As usual, they have a great schedule of both silent and talkie films. And for Westerners, that includes 1928's Ramona, which is the first talkie version of Helen Hunt Jackson's classic novel, starring Dolores Del Rio and Warner Baxter. Ken Maynard in The Fighting Legion, and when's the last time Ken Maynard's been on a big screen?
Oh, a long time.
And Gary Cooper starring in the first talkie version of Rex Smith's The Spoilers. Also
star-studded, huh?
I'm sorry?
Star-studded.
Absolutely. In the upcoming roundup, I'm also reviewing a magnificent book on the making of The Magnificent Seven to get you in the mood for the remake. And I'll be reviewing a newly released spaghetti western double feature from Wild East Productions, which includes Massacre at Canyon Grande, starring James Mitchum, Robert Mitchum's son, and May God Forgive You, I Won't, which is not the same film as God Forgives, I Don't.
Uh-huh.
It should be, but it's not. The current True West magazine, with the Tombstone Walkdown on the cover, includes my article on the excellent new modern western Hell or High Water, starring Jeff Bridges, Ben Foster, and Robert Pine.
Mm-hmm.
And the current roundup is my all-Fess Parker issue in honor of what would have been Fess's birthday on Tuesday, August 16th.
Yeah, he would have been 100, right?
You know what? Close to it.
Yeah.
You know, late 90s.
Right.
I'll have to check and see exactly. And, of course, you can read all this and more at www.henryswesternroundup.blogspot.com.
Outstanding, Henry. You got all the way through it. Now I have something for you.
Please do.
I managed to catch Jane Got a Gun.
How'd you like it?
I liked it. I liked it. I thought that she did a very good job. I mean, there was no makeup involved. I figured, but there was no Hollywood glitz at all. I mean, these people were dirty and grubby, and it was pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I think it was kind of a pity the way it was dumped. You know, it came out right at the same time as The Revenant and The Hateful Eight.
Right.
I think it just got lost in the shuffle.
Well, it shouldn't have.
But I think it's a terrific film.
It shouldn't have, because I also started watching The Hateful Eight,
mm-hmm.
and I had to stop.
You loved it so much you couldn't take it all in one sitting.
I just had to quit watching it because it just wasn't doing anything for me. And, you know, I'm a Kurt Russell fan. But it just,
I am too, and a Tarantino fan, and there's lots of stuff in the film I like, but as a whole, there's a lot that I found wrong with it.
It was way too wordy, I have to say, it was just way too wordy. Okay, Henry, thanks you so much. And I'm sorry you will not be able to join us on the 1st, but we're still going to have court.
Outstanding. Well, have a wonderful time with court. I'm sure
we
you will.
We always do. We always
right.
do. And Henry, thanks
okay.
again. We'll talk
Thank
to you.
Thank you for having me on. Take
we'll
care.
Talk to you in two
wonderful
weeks.
Wonderful to meet you, Henry.
Okay,
nice
be good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I will be at that event this weekend at the Hollywood
Museum. Oh,
will
you?
Darby Hinton and Johnny Crawford are friends, as is Paul Peterson and Allison Arngrim. A lot of my friends are former child actors.
Very cool.
It's been a great event.
I know. I've listened to some of your shows, and you've had some of them on. So I've just
great people.
Yeah, they seem like it. And you know, I grew up with guys like Eddie Albert Jr. And,
sure.
and those guys, and they were just down to earth guys.
Yeah.
I mean, his father wouldn't let him be any other way.
Yeah.
You know,
he
so.
Was a great actor.
He was, but he just doesn't act anymore.
Yeah.
You know, who knows?
It's a shame. He was a wonderfully talented
And actor. He never shows up for reunions, so.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's too bad.
I don't get it. Okay, our guest tonight was born in Busan, Korea. He, at the age of 5, as the Korean War ended, his Korean mother sent him to America under the adoption of his biological American father, Peter J. Hirsch. Due to post-war hardships and Korean ostracism of children of mixed race, moving to the Deep South, Columbus, Georgia, in 1954, he was prohibited by segregation practices from enrolling in white public schools. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Because of being half Asian and deficient in English. Subsequently, he received his first 4 years of American education in Catholic schools. From there, he attended Department of Defense schools until the age 13, when he received American citizenship. His family then moved to France, where he was placed in the French school system, where he became fluent in French.
Wow.
Yeah. Upon graduation from Cameron University, Oklahoma, 1971, he entered the education profession as a French and social studies teacher. He retired from education in 2012 as the superintendent of the Ocean Springs School District. After a 40-year career, which he served as a teacher, go check this out, Sheena, this is really good, a teacher, a bus driver, Dean of Discipline, Middle School Assistant Principal, High School Principal, and Superintendent. He is currently writing novels, and I have to tell you, his novels are like that thick, and serving as a public speaker on Educational Consultant. He resides on the Gulf Coast with his wife, Melissa A. Hirsch, in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. Will you please welcome Mr. Robert E. Hirsch? Are you there with us, Robert?
Yes, I am. I thought I lost you for about 10 minutes, Jim.
Nope, I'm here. I'm here. That's one hell of a bio.
Well, yeah, I heard you say something about somebody was coming and then boom, it just went dead.
Oh, anyway. that's probably because I didn't merge the call so you could hear what was going on.
Okay.
We had we had Henry Park on from Henry's Western Roundup.
Oh, okay, that's right. The name was Henry.
Right.
Anyway, I am I'm down here on the Mississippi Gulf Coast.
Right.
Jim, and it's 9 o'clock at night.
Right, it is. And it's quarter after 7 here. So we have a 15-minute disparity someplace. Got to be in Mississippi.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you've got your first novel, which was Contrition, was a, oh my goodness, guess who's calling in? I believe that might be Bobby Jean Bell. Hang tough just a second. Thanks for calling your writer's block.
Well, good evening. Is this Jim Christina?
It is. Hey, hang on just a second, Bobby. I'm going to
of course.
I'm going to merge your calls with Robert so you can, and I have okay. Sheena Metal here with me too.
Hi, Bobby. Feel better.
Hi.
Hang tough. We're going to merge you all. Okay, Robert, you're on the phone also with my normal co-host, Bobby Jean Bell. Robert, you with us? Hello? Come on. Resume call. What the hell?
It's a technical puzzle.
It is.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I just hung up on him. Oh, I got him. Robert, you there?
Yes, I am.
Bobby, you're here. No, you're not here.
Okay.
Bobby, you're here. No. Okay, well, I guess we're calling Bobby back.
Out West.
Okay, are you there?
I am.
And we have Robert on the other line, I think. Robert, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we got you both.
Wonderful.
And I just...
Hi, Robert.
Hello, Bobby Jean.
Hi, welcome to the writer's block.
Boy, this has been a hell of a night so far.
Yeah, we weren't expecting you tonight.
No.
Well, that's okay. I just wanted to call in real quick, and I wanted to tell you how much I am enjoying your book. I am looking forward to getting being able to complete the first one, and I think it's going to be an amazing series. You have got me for sure as a reader.
Well, great. Yeah, I got a lot of good feedback on Promise of the Black Monks, and the sequel's coming out in about 2 weeks.
Well, that's all, what, 520 pages of Promise of the Black Monk?
Yeah, it's a five-book series, Jim, and each book is 550 to 600 pages.
Right.
Well, I started reading a little late, Robert, but I read till about 3:30 this morning in preparation for tonight, and I won't stay on the line with you the whole time. I know a lot of people on the phone can make for not such an interesting interview, but I wanted to call in and just tell you how much I'm enjoying it, and thank you for writing. My goodness.
Well, I hope you enjoy the book, a lot of action as you get into that thing. I mean, after all, it's the Dark Ages and the 11th century, so it just kind of erupts with action, and it just keeps going all the way through.
Well, and again, reading about a period of time that I had forgotten much about, and so interesting about the Normans and the Saxons and coming down into France, and, you know, there's just the whole... That whole time period, remembering that I didn't really remember much and wanting to go learn a whole lot more again. So refreshing to enter another period of time that I again, have somewhat forgotten.
Hello? Anybody there?
Hello?
Okay, you're there still. Well, you know what amazed me is...
I'm absorbing her words.
Oh, okay. 1066, of course, was the year of William the Conqueror and invaded Normandy.
Robert,
but, actually, the book begins in 1066, right after the Battle of Hastings, which was a benchmark in Western history.
Mm-hmm.
And this boy is born, and during his birth, the after birth kind of covers his head, kind of like a hood, like a caul. And the old pagan woman who is delivering this boy is convinced. Mm-hmm. She's horrified, mm-hmm. convinced that he's cursed, and she declares him cursed.
Uh-huh.
And two or three years later, she tries to drown the boy, thinking that that he's going to be a curse to humanity, specifically. That he's going to create the disaster,
uh-huh.
and war. So that's how the story begins. And then from there, the boy and his young brother, at age 7, Tristan de Saint-Germain, who is the boy, he is abandoned by his mother. He and his brother are abandoned to the Black Monks of Cluny, France.
Mm-hmm.
Black Monks being the Benedictines, because their robes were black, as opposed to brown or white. So this boy has startling, frightening intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
the
he
black
does.
The Black Monks discover this, and they quickly, the Grand Friar of the monastery quickly puts his gifts to work and decides to groom him for the Benedictine order. The Grand Prior, by the way, is a man named Odo de Lager, who later on will become Pope Urban II, who begins the First Holy Crusade against the Muslims. So at that point, this is historical fiction,
mm-hmm.
but other than Tristan de Saint-Germain and his brother and his mother, everyone in the book is actually, they're authentic historical characters.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, did you get the Odo name from the Native American tribe?
No. This is Odo. Actually, Otto. Spelled O-D-O, but also O-T-T-O. It's an old Germanic name.
Sure.
Mixed with the French. And like I say, Pope Urban II, his real name was Odo de Lagerie. He was born of a noble family in France, joined the Benedictine order, and eventually, toward the end of the century, he became Pope Urban II. And actually, Pope Urban II, becoming probably the most dynamic pope in the history of the Vatican, mm-hmm. and in the history of the Catholic Church, because of the Crusades.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what I'm really proud of, Jim, in this entire series is the historical accuracy. 95% of the characters are real. The dates, the major events all actually occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And when you run into people like the Holy Roman Emperor, Heinrich IV, Pope Gregory VII, Matilda of Tuscany, these were the great characters
mm-hmm.
Of the 11th century, and they actually shaped the Crusades. And as you move through the series, you know, you move into the Crusades, and I'm working on the fifth book. I've completed four of the books. I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to end the series, and it's going to end, of course, with the Battle of Jerusalem and the end of the First Crusade. So
you're actually going to end the series?
First Crusade, by the way, Jim, is about the only one that the Christians won.
Uh-huh.
So,
right.
Well, you know,
Tristan,
go ahead, Bobby.
Tristan, the main character, and his brother are just so, you know, character development. I'm where they have arrived at Clooney. Tristan has had a catastrophe with some hot oil. And you just feel like, again, like you're just right there. All of the scenes from the very beginning, all the way to where I am, which is still pretty early in the book, you just feel like you have planted us right in this time period. I can smell the smells. Some are good and some are not. You know, I can touch and feel, and really you've immersed us in the time period. I think that's a real gift. How did you do your research?
Well, I was a history major in college. And, you know, if you read the dedication in the book, or the acknowledgement in Promise of the Black Monks, I acknowledged a college professor of mine back in the late 60s, early 70s. He taught European history, and he absolutely, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was just going to college at the time, like, you know, all us boomers were told, oh, you got to go to college. Well, half of us had no idea what we wanted to study, myself included, but this history professor I had, Dr. Charles Smith, just fascinated me with stories of these characters in European history. And so that's where I developed a love of history. And for this particular series, you know, I depended heavily on Thomas Asbridge, who wrote a lot about the Crusades, but I probably read and scoured through about 50 to 55 different historical books on the 11th century. So one of the things I'm proud of, you know, I started out wanting to write a good, compelling story,
mm-hmm.
and as I got into this thing, I got very serious about the history, and I said, "Oh, I've got to remain true and precise, you know, in terms of dates, events, personalities, and you know that old adage: the truth really is stranger than fiction." I've had a lot of people fact check me. I'm in the middle of about three universities down here.
Oh,
a
yeah, yeah,
research,
yeah.
And a lot of my friends are university people. So I've had a lot of fact-checking going on, and they were rather surprised at the precision, you know, and the accuracy of the history.
Sure.
Especially knowing me, because I'm a prankster, and, you know, I'm full of a lot of stories and have a vivid imagination. Mm-hmm. So,
well, apparently, and apparently, you went to your Western civilization classes, unlike a lot of us. Because Robert, I think I slept through most of mine.
Robert, what about that time period spoke to you? Why did you want to set a series in that time period?
The Dark Ages probably, undoubtedly, were the most merciless, you know, in terms of war, immigration, invasion, ignorance, superstition, and it's just a period that you know, it's rather incredible that humanity made it through the Dark Ages.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so there's just something about that era that is compelling. It's always fascinated me, and I think just the sheer brutality of the era mixed with the superstition and the ignorance, mm-hmm. I think all of that speaks to me. I'm not mm-hmm. sure why, because I've been a 40-year educator.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it has to do with, and correct me if I'm wrong, I never studied the Middle Ages. However, I have always been really enamored of them. I think the Dark Ages lasted from, what, 800 to 1200? Am I right about there?
Yeah, actually, they pushed it back to about the 500s. You know,
oh, is that right? Okay.
But yeah, the 5th century, you know, as the Roman Empire collapsed.
Right. Right.
Technology and classicism and everything absolutely was just plowed into the earth.
Right, and then they had the Mongols and the barbarians.
By violence.
Right.
And until the Renaissance, you know, like you say, in about the 1400s, 1500s, that whole period was bleak.
Well, I know that the only civilization was around each lord's or landowner's castle. Or his homestead.
Right. Well, there were two entities that ran the world.
Right.
And it was the church. And
the church, exactly.
Yeah. And the church, Jim. Oddly, the church is often painted as the abusive, twisted villain of the Dark Ages.
Uh-huh.
And historically, that's actually incorrect.
Uh-huh.
The black villain of the Dark Ages mm-hmm. was the nobility,
mm-hmm.
and the church pretty much was victimized during a great part of the Dark Ages, and you know, people don't realize that. Let me give you an example from the year 872 to 904. That's a period of 32 years.
Sure.
There were 24 popes in the Vatican, 24 popes over a 32-year period. Why was that?
Well, because they were killing each other off.
Yeah, the nobility strangled popes. One pope disappeared, for example. One pope was insane that they put in there. You know, they hung popes. So the papacy basically, you know, whoever was the pope was put in there by this noble or that noble. And it was not until the 11th century, until Pope Gregory the VII became the pope, that the Vatican asserted itself,
mm-hmm.
and which was the investiture war. And in Promise of the Black Monks, a great deal of that story and the sequel involves the investiture war
mm-hmm.
Between the Vatican and King Heinrich the IV of Germany, mm-hmm. who was the Holy Roman Emperor.
Right, right,
or
right.
So he claimed, you know. But, you know, a funny thing, I just told you how I felt about the Dark Ages, how violent it was. And but, you know, in truth, historically, more people were murdered and killed in the 20th century than any particular century in the Dark Ages.
That's because there weren't as many people.
Do you realize that, Jim?
There weren't as many people. You can go 25 miles and never run into a body.
Even ratio-wise,
Oh, okay. So you're talking exponentially.
You had World War One.
Right.
You had World War Two.
That is true.
You had the African Civil Wars, which were millions of people killed, the Hutus and the Tutsis. You had the killing fields in Asia, you know, millions of people butchered and massacred.
Right.
Then you got the Korean War, the Afghanistan War, the Iraq War, the Vietnam War.
Well, I think so, we have technology now. It's a lot easier to kill people with bombs
large,
and guns.
Large amounts of people at one time.
Than to have to walk up to somebody and stab them.
With a, right. That means I would turn away if somebody came at me with a sword.
Mono, I mean, you put the guy in the face and you bludgeoned him to death or stabbed him to death, and you hacked and hewed, and it was a much slower
process. And it was ugly.
Yeah.
And a much more violent process.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I need to put you on hold for just a moment. Robert, hold that thought. We're going to do a real quick commercial, and we'll be back with you in just about 30 seconds.
Absolutely.
Okay, hold tough. Bobby, you going to hang with us?
You know, I think I'm going to enjoy listening. And Robert, thank you so much. I look forward to chatting with you again.
Well, thanks for joining us, Bobby. Appreciate it.
Keep writing.
Keep writing. That's it. Keep writing.
Bye, Bobby. Feel better.
Bye-bye.
All right, I'm going to stick you on hold for just a second here, Robert.
Okay.
Nestled in a little corner on Tappo Canyon and Cochrane Streets in Simi Valley is Sutter's Mill, one of the finest steakhouses in Ventura County. At Sutter's, you will find casual dining with a touch of elegance and a rustic steakhouse atmosphere. Their well-trained staff strives to provide their guests with a great dining experience. At Sutter's, you will find the finest in steaks and seafood, along with specialty items such as barbecue pork, ribs, and deep-fried chicken or shrimp. Sutter's offers a full bar with special happy hour pricing and never charges a corkage fee. Visit their website at suttersfordining.com to make online reservations. That's Sutter's number 4 dining. And view their hours and menus. They also offer a summer special section, which gives you a 20% discount Monday through Thursday from 4 p.m. to close. So enjoy. For reservations, call 805-520-4797 or go to www.suttersfordining.com on the web. We actually ate dinner there. All of us.
Oh, I've always wanted to go there.
Oh, my God. The food there is so good.
Oh, I can't wait someday. Oh,
you got to go. You got to go. And let me know when you're going because we'll meet you there.
Oh, I'd love that.
Oh, my God. It's so much fun. The food is so good. This food is just excellent. Okay, if you're just now joining us, we're on the air with Robert Hirsch, the author of several tomes. I want to say tomes. Now, Robert, I have to ask you because I found this to be interesting. Your first book, Contrition. Robert, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Amazingly enough, where's my sheet of paper here? I have to make sure I get this name right because I'm terrible at French. What's his name? Tristan de Saint-Germain.
Yeah.
Am I close?
Tristan de Saint-Germain.
Okay. He shows up in Contrition.
Well, here's what happened,
and this
is what happens when you're a writer. You know, anything can happen.
That's exactly right.
He's a magic being that lives thousands of years.
I've actually been a writer most of my life. You know, high school, college, I did the newspaper, yearbook. I've done columns while I was teaching school and mm-hmm. was a school administrator. When I retired 4 years ago, I said, I want to write a book. And I want to get published.
Mm-hmm.
So, and having no idea how difficult that was, I launched into completing a book that I had been working on for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it was called Contrition, as in the act of contrition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You're not Catholic, are you, Jim?
I'm going to have to admit to that.
Yeah.
But well, I'm a fallen away Catholic.
We have a prayer called the Act of Contrition.
Act of Contrition, that is correct.
I am sorry, for I have sinned.
Right.
I'm sorry I did this. I'm guilty.
Right.
Mea culpa, mea culpa.
Right, and then go out and do 20 Hail Marys.
I base this story on a modern murder mystery, serial murderer, here on the Gulf Coast. But halfway through this book, I decided to throw in a little supernatural. And so my book took a twist, and a character from the 11th century shows up.
That would be Tristan de Saint-Germain.
Yeah, it's the basic. It's the basic good versus evil. Satan shows up, and Tristan shows up as the good angel who had sinned in the 11th century, but now he's back to earn his grace, maybe earn his way into heaven. So there you have the classic good versus evil. Okay. Well, I became so absorbed in this character when I finished that book. I said, I love that character so much. Let me go back to the 11th century. And so I started investigating the Benedictines and Pope Gregory and Odo de Lingerie, who became Pope Urban. And I had forgotten over 40 years of teaching school how much I loved that time period, mm-hmm. Jim. So I started writing a book that I was going to call Promise of the Black Monks, and it was about this boy, Tristan de Saint-Germain, who is abandoned. He's sent to the monks, and so Promise of the Black Monks gets him from birth to the age of 18, mm-hmm. Which is the end of book one. And in the sequel, he's now a young man, and he becomes a black monk. Mm-hmm. And as a matter of fact, the whole gist of my series, Tristan de Saint-Germain is the one who convinces Pope Urban II that we need to go to war against Islam and the Turks to recapture the Holy Land.
Did he come back in 2002 and convince Bush we needed to do that too?
Well,
no, that was Satan. I had to. I'm sorry.
You set me up for that.
I did, actually.
Jokingly, but let me tell you what I ran into there. The politics of the 11th century getting us into that Middle Eastern mess, mm-hmm. is just about identical to the politics that exist today.
Absolutely.
Back then, the Sunni and the Shia were butchering each other. Mm-hmm. So they absolutely were not prepared for a Western invasion. Mm-hmm. The West, the Westernites, these wars we have now are catastrophic oil wars. Back then, the knights that volunteered weren't so interested in recapturing Jerusalem from the Turks. They wanted to stake claims to territories and empires in Anatolia, Asia Minor. So it was very mercenary. Mm-hmm. Bottom line, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed.
I'm absolutely certain of that.
The motivations have not changed. The prizes have not changed, and the disasters have not changed.
Yeah.
So that's a fascinating aspect of what I ran into during my research.
Well, let me ask you a question, because this name of this program is The Writer's Block, and we like to ask all of our writers, have you ever had writer's block? 40 years of writing, someone had to have told you, oh my God, you've got writer's block.
Well, I've got writer's block right now. No, I just mentioned that I am on my fifth book,
mm-hmm.
and I have been on my fifth book for about 6 months, and I just cannot get, I am stymied and don't know where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it just came out of nowhere, because let me tell you, when I started writing Promise of Black Monks, this whole thing was going to be one book, mm-hmm. 200 or 300 pages. Well, 500 pages in, I was nowhere where I wanted to be, so mm-hmm. I said, well, I'm going to have to break this up into two books. And I kept writing. The words just kept flowing. Next thing I knew, so now I'm over 1,000 pages in, two books, and I'm like, I've got to stretch this out into three books, and then four books. Well, I finished my fourth book, I guess about 5-6 months ago, and I still have not finished the story. But now I'm at a point where my brain has just dammed itself up, you know.
He just ran out of words.
Literally,
I think
yeah.
ending is hard, and, though, and right? It's the ending. It's hard to wrap something up.
I think Sheen is absolutely right. When you come to the end, I think it's really hard to give that up.
Yeah. It's hard to figure out. You don't want it to end.
And then when you have, I got to tell you this, Sheena, when you have so much invested, I mean, I'm talking right now I have, like, the series, the four books is, like, over 2,000 pages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And over a 20-year period. So when you have so much invested, you know, it's kind of hard to decide, you know what? This person has got to die. This person has got to, you know, gets to ride over the horizon and into the sunset. And, yeah, it's kind of hard to decide, you know, what's going to happen to whom, because over a four-book, five-book series, you introduce a lot of characters.
Sure. And you get to know this guy really well.
And they become
Absolutely.
Your kids, and
right.
you don't want to kill your kids off.
Right. Right. And my guess is that Tristan is probably fighting you right now, not wanting to end his story.
No. I don't think anyone wants to end the story. But, I gotta tell you one thing. A lot of my readers, I get a lot of feedback through email, and a lot of my readers have been surprised at what occurs to certain characters mm-hmm. In my first book. Mm-hmm. And I've got to say, I've maintained that little writing trick throughout the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
I am not what you call an American writer. I went to France for 3 years. I went to public school in France for 3 years, became acquainted with French literature, and French literature is my love and my motivation. The French do not think nor act like Americans.
Well, they're not.
They are not into Disneyland Hollywood endings.
Absolutely.
They never have been.
They love their darkness.
Coldly,
yep.
Well, they're coldly realistic. They're blunt. You know, we often think the French are arrogant. And the fact is, they're realistic.
They're pragmatic. Okay?
And they're not as hypocritical as we are. So what I'm saying is in my writing, some of my main characters meet their demise early in the series or mm-hmm. early in the book. Mm-hmm. And it throws some of my readers into shock. But it also adds for you. It is the Dark Ages after mm-hmm. all. You know,
well,
the value of life. You know, the value of a man's life was worth less than the dirt it took to bury him.
Sure,
and people died from a hangnail.
Sure,
absolutely, or disease, or you know, just accidents. You know, I mean, it was a perilous time to be alive.
I mean, the Lord and landowner could walk out and kill you for no reason. And be within his rights to do so.
Or you could just disappear like that Pope.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. Another thing I tried to do, Jim, is I consider this series somewhat of a return to literature.
Mm-hmm.
The language, the syntax, the structure, the style, it's I designed it to be an easy read. But not so much a quick read.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you have to kind of absorb,
right.
And you have to kind of think about the characters and think about the actions
right.
they take and the decisions they make. Of course, that's from my point of view.
Sure,
but I have had a lot of my readers say that they felt it was more like a classic novel than you know. One of today's quick reads.
Dickens-esque? Is it
Yeah. And Victor Hugo, Dickens, Stendhal,
right.
George Eliot, George Sands, right. You know, the old style.
Right. Well, look, Robert, we're running out of time. Why don't you give our audience your information, how to reach you. You have a website, Facebook, yada, yada,
sure.
yada, and let them know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to put out my email.
Okay.
Okay. It's dr, as in doctor, And I'm not a medical doctor. I'm an education doctor,
sure.
which is the wrong kind in terms of money. But anyway, it's Dr. Robert Hirsch, H-I-R-S-C-H, @gmail.com.
Okay.
And my website is roberthirschcom.com.
Okay. roberthirschcom.com.
Robert E. Hirsch.
Yeah, Robert E. Hirsch. Okay.
E. Hirsch.
Okay.
Com.
Okay. And that's for both books, Contrition and Promises of the Black Monks?
Yes. Well, you can, yeah. I've got everything on there. Contrition was published by Journal Stone, and my five-book historical fiction series was published by Argus Publishing out of North Carolina.
Right,
but,
right.
But everything's together in terms of contacting me. Love to hear from people. Love to get feedback, Jim.
Well, you know what? I'm sure you will, because, you know, we actually have a pretty good listenership here, so I'm sure you'll hear from some folks.
Right.
And it's been absolutely just wonderful having you on with us, and I really appreciate you taking the time to speak with us. And it's been fascinating. I've never really dug that much into the Dark Ages before, so it's been quite a journey for us as well.
Wonderful to meet you.
Well, it's a great time to read about, and it's fascinating. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're absolutely more than welcome. And why don't you can go to our Facebook page if you want to. It's the Writer's Block Radio Show on Facebook. And you can just sign your little thingy and say, you know, I was on the show last night, and I either had a crappy time or I had a great time. And whichever you want to say, it's fine with us.
All right.
And we will be sending you a mug. And we do ask that you kind of take a picture with the mug and stick it up on the page, and so we know you got it.
Yeah, I'll do it, and I can't wait.
Okay, then. And again, thank you so much for coming on with us. We really enjoyed having you.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Sheena.
Thank you, my friend. Nice to meet you.
Have a good night for the rest of your night, and enjoy Mississippi Gulf Coast.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Robert Hirsch.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Sheena, again, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it.
It was my absolute pleasure. I feel like I got a little bit of the plague and pestilence along the way.
don't get a hangnail the next 2 days.
Some dirty nobility.
you'll probably croak. Again, next week is... what was it next week? We have Kathleen Rogers, who is a writer that's written two books, Johnny Come Lately and The Final Salute. And next week, of course, Bobby Jean will be gone at the Out West Concert Series with Junie Fisher and Joe Harrington. So Russ Avison, our once-a-month co-host, will
Lovely.
Be in here. Russ is a great
I
guy.
I love Russ.
Russ is so much fun, isn't he?
Yes.
He's just this big teddy bear. But he asks us great questions.
He's a lovely guy.
He really, truly is. And he's been a friend for years, and he just is a great co-host. And he's been with us since we've been on the air a year. And, of course, the next week is Out West Concert Series, again with Junie Fisher and Joe Harrington. They have two nights, the 25th and 26th. And, again, if you want to check and see if they have tickets available, it's 661-347-9700. Give them a call. You'll probably talk to Bobby Jean or Jim, and they'll be able to tell you whether they have room for you or not. And that is us. That is us for tonight. Thank you so much for joining the Writer's Block. We really appreciate you listening, and we hope that you all have a great week. We'll be back next Thursday with Russ Avison, myself, and Kathleen Rogers.